Gracious God, we ask that you would speak to us even now, that you would prepare our hearts and our lives to receive your word, that you would challenge us and encourage us, teach us, and turn us ever more to be present of you. In Jesus' name, amen. I was having a conversation with a pastor friend a few weeks ago, and we were talking about how busy everyone is these days. How there's so much more work for everyone to do, and how our world feels crazier than it used to. But then for some reason I disagreed. What if we actually aren't busier? What if that's just how it feels? What if there isn't more work to do? What if we've just lost the ability to prioritize as well? What if life isn't any crazier than it used to be? What if we've just lost the rhythms needed to mark time? I mean, maybe this is simply a perception issue. Maybe we feel busier not because we're doing more, but because we've lost the boundaries that tell us when one thing starts and another thing ends. And so we work from home and live at work, instead of putting those things in their places. Maybe we feel like there's more work to do because we rely on our work for meaning, and yet don't find as much satisfaction from what we do anymore. Maybe things aren't crazier now, but we live lives with more immediacy and fear due to our more connected social media-filled lives. But that's not to say that that isn't our reality either. I'd assume that if you ask the average person how they're doing these days, they will tell you that they're busy. They will tell you that life is going too fast. They will tell you that they feel distracted, that they feel like there's nothing holding one day back from the next. What's more, there seems to be a sense of disorder in a lot of our lives. Our lives feel more disconnected than they were, not just from each other, but even from ourselves. We live lives of distraction in a way that I don't think we did before. Of course, that only leads to more distraction. As often as we think we need simply more time, as often as we think we need to be more connected, as often as we think we are using our time well, what if we're not? It strikes me that we may not be that much busier than we were 20, 50, 100 years ago. It strikes me that our world may not be as dangerous as it was 20, 50, 100 years ago. It strikes me that our world may not be as crazy as it was 20, 50, 100 years ago, but it sure can feel like it is. Surely things were more chaotic at different times throughout the last century. Great depressions, world wars, huge cultural upheavals. But it sure feels like it's worse these days. It sure feels like everything is now, that everything is urgent, that everything is vital, that everything is frightening. Of course, then again, maybe that's just one perception, and another is simply that it's Wednesday. But maybe the deeper issue here is that we've lost our godly rhythms and rituals that helped us put time in its place and gave us a different perspective beyond just the continuously immediate. As we think about that, we're going to turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 1, the absolute beginning of our Bibles. Genesis 1, 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the expanse and separated the waters under the expanse from the waters above it. And it was so. God called the expanse sky. And there was evening and there was morning, the second day. And God said, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place and let dry ground appear. And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds. And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate day from night. And let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light to the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning the fourth day. We're going to fast forward to chapter 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. Amen. It's hopefully a familiar passage. And there's a lot going on in this passage. There are a lot of different lessons we can learn and draw from this passage. But the one I want us focusing in on tonight is how God creates order out of chaos. And particularly how he creates order out of chaos using time. As our passage opens up, as time begins, as existence is created, we learn that things have been formless and void. That there is darkness and deeps and disorder. Even the imagery of waters is not an image of goodness. It's an imagery of frightening chaos, where you don't know what's there and you don't know what's going to happen and you're not secure. That's what there is in the beginning. The world is empty, it is dark, it is disordered. And there's a fear that we should experience as we see that dark chaos out of which God starts creating. But then God speaks, and order is created in the midst of and out of the chaos. God separates the darkness and the light, and in so doing, he creates order. By separating one from the other, he creates the first day. He follows that up by separating the waters. He separates the waters above from the waters below. Now, you have to understand that their cosmology, the way they saw the world, was different than ours. Their understanding of what the world looked like is vastly different than our understanding of what it looks like. And we'll need to extend them some grace on this one. For them, the reason that the sky is blue is because there's water up there. Obviously. Why else would it be blue? Wavelengths of light traveling through the atmosphere? Now who sounds crazy? What's more, we know that there are waters up there because that's where the rain is stored. It's already up there, obviously. And so when it rains, all God has to do is open some of those windows in the sky and water falls down. Thus rain. How do you explain how water, which is heavier than air, just floats up there until it's time for rain to happen? How do you explain that? All that to say, while their view of the cosmos is a little archaic and antiquated, it's also decently creative. So we're going to cut them some slack there. And so the image we have of God is he separates the waters above from the waters below. And in that bubble that's created is Well, that's where we are. That's where air is. That's the sky. God, again, creates order from chaos the second day. Then on the third day, he separates out the water and the land, creating dry ground and waters, and in so doing, he sets boundaries for where one should stop and the other should start. God brings even more order to creation on day four, separating the day from the night, creating heavenly bodies to mark the passage of time, years and seasons, months and days. Again, creating order out of chaos, this time creating an order to time. And we're going to come back to that in just a second. From there, we fast forward the story a bit as God continues creation, plants and animals, finally us, very good. And then on the seventh day, God rests. But now let's go back to the order that God creates in time. In this first chapter of creation, as God is bringing about all the good things he does and creating structures where there wasn't before, he's also giving us a structure for understanding our time. God creates morning and evening. He creates days and months and seasons and years. And this is often missed as we either argue about the length of the word days or we bask in the awesomeness of God's very good creation. But if you're paying attention, he sets up our understanding of time in this first chapter of the Bible. And most of those blocks of time are governed by the heavenly bodies that God creates and sets spinning. A day is governed by how long it takes for the sun to travel around the earth, or so it was thought. Now, of course, we have learned since from science and all the other godly capabilities that he's given us that actually it's the earth spinning around the sun, both on its axis and then around the sun itself. And there's probably a very good godly lesson here somewhere about remembering that maybe things don't revolve around us quite as often as we like to think. But that's a sermon for another time, so you can just put a pin in that one and come back to it. How it's kind of our tendency to just think that probably the whole cosmos is spinning around me, obviously. But we understand a day in relationship to how long it takes our planet to circle around once. God set that up when he started the planet spinning. But that's not all. He also gave us months that are loosely governed on the phases of the moon. He created a year, which is governed by how long it takes the earth to circumnavigate the sun. In other words, God set up all these periods of time when he did his initial creating. This wasn't something that came way later. It was something that was built into the system from literally day one and two and three and four. Of course, the one that's missing there and the only one that isn't governed by a heavenly body was created even more directly by the actions and model of God. Because this whole chapter is designed around a week. God chose to work 6 days and then rest on the seventh. And of course, it's worth noting that he didn't do that because he needed to rest. Creation didn't take that much out of him, that he needed rest. He did it to mark time. He did it to gift us with a pattern and a model. And he did it to bring just a little bit more order in the midst of our chaos. What I find particularly interesting about all that is that God seems to create certain rhythms in life for us to be able to order certain parts of our own chaos. Certainly, God didn't need to break up time into days and weeks and months and years just for himself. Certainly, he could have done it differently. But for some reason, in God's wisdom, he chose to break up time in different rhythms. The rhythm of days and weeks and months and years. And maybe even designed us to live within those same rhythms. Maybe we, as part of creation, were designed to live around a day and a week and a month and a season and a year. The rest of creation is. The rest of creation knows that in one season it's time for this, and in another season it's time for that. And with that, we can go back to where we began this sermon and see if we can put all these pieces together. I wonder if the reason that our lives feel so disordered and so distracted and so disconnected, the reason we feel like our lives are so chaotic these days, has more to do with a lack of godly rhythm and quality, and less to do with the quantity of stuff that we try and cram into our lives and the general state of things in our world. Maybe it's because we've lost those natural boundaries that used to mark off one time from another, so that we feel like every time encroaches on every other. Maybe this is why it feels like one day bleeds right into the next, right into the next, right into the next. Maybe this is why life can feel like it simply moves too fast and it is too busy, because we've simply lost our sense of timing. Maybe it's because we don't have a regular, dedicated, designed rhythm in our lives any longer. So our lives start to then feel chaotic. They tend to then start feeling formless and void. Which leads me to wonder, could the solution to our disorder be hidden and built in right in that first day of creation? Could a large part of the fix simply be us adding certain rhythms back into our lives to recreate order from chaos? I wonder tonight on this Ash Wednesday, I wonder tonight, does your life sometimes feel formless and void? Would that sometimes describe you? I wonder tonight, does your life sometimes feel overly chaotic? I wonder tonight, does your life sometimes feel distracted and disordered and disconnected? If so, I'm curious if your life may be missing certain rhythms, daily, weekly, monthly, seasonally, and finally yearly. This is what we're going to work on this Lent. By design, Lent is a season of preparation. It's a season for self-reflection. It's a season where we get ready for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, where hope is reborn. And yet, tragically for most of us, the reality is that we barely are able to receive Jesus on Easter simply because of the busyness and chaoticness of life. We lack those built-in rhythms, and so we get so busy with all the things of preparation that we just run right on by it. Do we even remember Christmas any longer? What was the season before that? It's so easy to not get caught up in the seasons and months and weeks and days of life that we lose our momentum. We lose where we are in the moment. So what I want us to explore throughout these next 40 days and throughout the sermon series that we're beginning tonight is the idea that maybe God has gifted us with certain disciplines that we are to set to certain rhythms that will add structure and rest and time back into our crazy lives. And while these will look different in form and structure for everyone, depending on your personality, depending on your season of life, depending on your family situation, depending on the way your week lays itself out, they will all by necessity be different. And yet, they're all important. It's important for us each to find what is the right rhythm for me today in this season of life, as we live out all the rhythms of the Christian life. And so each week throughout Lent, we're going to look at a different discipline: prayer and study, worship and solitude, service and others. And we'll work to layer these into our lives, one at a time, Here's prayer. It probably should be, this will be this Sunday. Here's prayer. It should probably be more than daily, but maybe daily is as much as you can do right now. Let's start there. Let's start praying on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and see how that goes. Maybe for you, because of the way your life is, maybe, and I'm probably not supposed to say this as a pastor, maybe Thursday's not a good pray day for you. But in the current season, going from zero, we're going to start with Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's a good rhythm for you to start with. And we'll see what happens from there. Maybe for you, mornings and evenings is a good rhythm for you all, every day. Maybe for you, you want to spend a long time on Sunday and then very short times throughout the week. What does study look like? That'll be the next week. Is that a daily thing? Is that a weekly thing? If you push it past weekly, that seems a little like a stretch, that maybe we should be in our Bibles more than that. What's the rhythm for you? What does it look like? When is it? But the hope is that as we apply these, as we try these, as we try and find the right rhythm for our lives, that our lives will take a different shape. That they'll be less chaotic. And that we might find God's rhythms underneath. And so as we approach Sunday, my invitation and my challenge is simply, what are the rhythms in your life right now? What does an average week look like? Where might you be able to add rhythm? Maybe for you, depending on how you've lived your Christian life, you may want to spend a little bit of time looking backwards throughout your life. When were different times you applied different rhythms? What worked for you in the past? So that might be a clue as to what to try in the future. Seems to me that God wants to create order out of chaos. It's kind of who he is. And if you're like me, you may realize that there's a lot more chaos in your lives than there probably should be. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for this day of Ash Wednesday. We thank you that today ushers in a season that we call Lent. That today also begins a month we call March. But in many ways, today is a day of beginnings as we prepare ourselves for the coming of Easter. Lord, we confess to you even now that our lives lack a godly rhythm more often than not. That our lives can often feel too busy, too chaotic, too disordered and distracted. Lord, help us in this season to do some work on that. To try and reorient ourselves back toward you. To even repent of all the ways that our lives have taken on a shape that they never were intended to take on. And Lord, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who is the reason for this season. Who, at the end of this season, we will celebrate his rising again, which then enables us to do this work that we need to do. And so we pray all these things in his name. Amen.